As you know, this is Communion Sunday, and we break in our Ephesian theme to talk about Christ and His work on the cross. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, it is a familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 53. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God, please, this morning? Isaiah chapter 53. We'll begin reading at verse 4. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so He did not open His mouth. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for the next few minutes that You would help us to focus our attention upon the preaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, perform Your work of illumination to the hearts and minds of believers. To those that don't know Christ as Savior, may today be that day of salvation. Holy Spirit, pierce the heart. As the seed is sown, we pray that it will fall upon the soil that's soft and pliable and ready to take root. For those hearts that are hardened, I pray that we would break up our fallow ground, that we would seek You and be tender toward Your word. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen. You may be seated. Last month, I forgot about it being communion. So, 2 months ago, we started a series on terms about the cross. Terms about the cross. And we talked about that under the big umbrella of the word atonement. Atonement. On the one hand, we said that in the Old Testament, atonement meant simply to cover. But there's so much more that happens in the work of Christ in regards to the atonement, especially as it is explained and unfolded in the New Testament. And so on the one hand, there are some that might say, well, I don't like the word atonement because it's never found in the New Testament, but on the Old it simply means only to cover, and it's not sufficient to explain the work of Christ. Yet theology, in discussing the work of Christ, said, we want to take the word atonement in a theological use, or let's just say in a Christianese type use, and say, let's put the work of Christ under this word atonement. And under atonement, we can have all the ramifications of the work of Christ. So on the one hand, if you said to someone who was really studied and looking at the word atonement, say you didn't like the word atonement, that could rub them the wrong way. But then if you look at someone else who might say, well, in the Old Testament it just says atonement, let's just keep it there. So I don't want to... I'm taking the word now, let me back up. I'm taking that word atonement now, giving it a broad meaning, and saying we're talking about words in relationship to the work of Christ and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. That He died for you and for me. And this word atonement, in the big umbrella in this series, would be the broad heading word talking about the work of Christ, that He atoned for my sins. We talked last time that there was a need for the atonement in that sin is inherited. You are born a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It permeates your innermost being through and through. There is not a spark of good in man. You say, well, do we do good things? Yes, but that doesn't mean that you are not a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You are no one. When I say we're all sin, no one is absolutely, completely, 100% perfection in holiness before God. And so it permeates to our innermost being and it's inherited. Therefore, it is incurable. You have no hope. It is universal. And sin's consequence is death. We talked about that last time. Grudman in his systematic theology, he said there are four things to consider in relationship to the atonement. We deserve to die as the penalty for sin. We deserve to die for the penalty of sin. That's a hard concept for people to understand. The very fact that you are here and breathing this morning is a testimony of the grace of God. The very fact that your heart will beat one more time is a testimony to the grace of God. And you need to look in the perspective of your relationship with God versus His holiness. And what happens is too many times we want to look on it on a horizontal level. Well, I'm not as bad as the guy down the street. No, but before God, He demands complete holiness. And we deserve, number two, Grudman says, or just as indicating, not that it's his word, he's just picking out theological thoughts from this word. Number one, we deserve to die as a penalty for sin. Number two, we deserve to bear God's wrath against sin. Think about that a minute. If we're a sinner, we deserve to bear the wrath of a holy God because of our sin. Number three, we are separated from God by our sin. And then number four, we are in bondage to sin and to the kingdom of Satan. We're in bondage to sin and to the kingdom of Satan. And you might say, well, thanks, Dave. I'm glad I came to church to hear all that good news this morning. But there's hope. There's hope. If you had gone to the doctor and the doctor found some disease and the doctor said, you know, I just don't really want him to feel bad. I don't think I'll tell him. I'll just tell him, load up on vitamin C and we'll call it good. You wouldn't think much of that doctor if you found out later that you had some disease that might have required, let's say, you know, a leukemia, a bone marrow transplant or something, because somebody didn't want to be honest with you so that you could face things. Listen, we need to be honest. People who preach the gospel, who are going to stand to proclaim the word of God, have a responsibility to cut it straight as to what the word says in regards to our soul, because that's what's at stake. And so understanding that, please, I come to my next point, which says, well, how in the world and what are we to do with this problem? And that's where we come to this next word of expiation. You say, Pastor Dave, what is expiation? Well, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, you would find it simply means, guess what? Atonement. But in theology, we want to say this. The emphasis is the removal of guilt through a payment of penalty. In bearing the penalty of sin, He, meaning Christ, there, that's who I mean by He, Christ satisfied the demands of justice. And so what we want to say now in this idea of expiation is, and talk about the concept of, how is it if I'm a sinner and I am so separated from God, if it permeates my very core, if I am born with it, what hope is there? If the penalty is death, and I deserve to suffer the wrath of a holy God, how can it be that my condition is affected in the relationship to the cross and what He's done? What is the connection? How does it transfer? What happens there? And expiation is that word that describes this concept of atonement, where guilt is removed through the payment of a penalty. Christ bore the penalty of sin as He satisfied the demands of justice. In Isaiah chapter 53, in your text this morning, is an Old Testament passage of Scripture which explains it so clearly in a nutshell. And so I want to call your attention to that passage this morning, and let's look at it. First of all, at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Well, when we look at this phrase, we find, first of all, ready? Some English this morning. Two verbs. Look at the two verbs in your text. Griefs, or it would be the word infirmities in your NIV. Okay? Griefs, or excuse me, those are the nouns. Bore. I know, I just minored in English. Bore is the other verb, and then took up in your NIV. So you've got bore and took up in that phrase. Then the next one is carried in the New American Standard and carried in the NIV. So you've got two verbs, bore or took up, and then carried. Bore, He took up. He lifted. He lifted sin from you. To load or to burden, He carried them. He loaded them upon Himself. So a load or burden, what did He load up? What is it that He lifted? Well, there's two objects that we find in this text. And what are they? Griefs or infirmities in your NIV. Or sorrows, then, is the other object. He took up, or griefs, He bore our griefs, and our sorrows He carried. Or He took up our infirmities, and He carried our sorrows. Now, question. As we look at that, are griefs and sorrows sin? Are they simply our emotional hurts? Are they illness? What does it mean here in this passage of Scripture? We know that Christ said, my yoke is easy and my what? What does it say right before that? Come unto me, heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I think that there is an aspect, certainly, in our sanctification, in our growth of Christ, when we learn of Christ, where we do cast all your care upon Him because He what? Cares for you. I think there is an aspect when it can refer to, or there is the aspect in which Christ does make going through this life easier. Then, when you also consider that, there's a clear explanation of this in Matthew chapter 8. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's performing miracles. And we're told exactly what occurs in this passage of Scripture, or this relationship in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus came into Peter's home. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, Matthew chapter 8, verse 15. The fever left her, and she got up and waited on Him. When evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out spirits with the word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He Himself took our what? Infirmities and carried away our what? Diseases. He is the great physician. He can heal. But I submit to you in the introduction of the text that while you can find multiple applications to that term, there is a sense that this does indeed relate to sin. I don't want to take away from the fact that He can take away our illnesses. But look at this picture a minute. Get this in your mind. Jesus Christ is present. There's a demon-possessed person, and suddenly, by His very word, He says, "Gone." Demons left. The demons left. You're diseased and you're sick. And He heals you. And understand this, please. It's gone. The sickness is gone. When it says that He carried our sorrows and our sicknesses, it is a removal. Get that picture. Just keep it in your mind. A removal. A removal. And so in understanding that, He bore, He took up, He lifted them, He carried them up to load or to burden our what? Our griefs, our infirmities, our mental anguish. I'm going to suggest to you that here in relationship to defining it in this passage or in this application of the text of atonement, it is the sorrow and emotional anguish of pain, of sin, of our sin and our guilt before God. You think about it a minute. Of all the pain that sin brings in your life, things that you said that you shouldn't have, things that people have done, but things that you do, what would it be like to be wiped clean? To be totally pure and truly gone? Like the demon-possessed person when Jesus comes up to them and says, "Go, evil spirit," and it leaves. Same picture. To have a disease and it's not there anymore. He bore and took and carried our griefs and our sorrows. We looked at Matthew chapter 8. The griefs and sorrows, the mental, emotional pain, a guilt of sin. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Again, you find this pattern of meaning here in the text. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Two verbs again. What do we have in this passage of Scripture? Well, pierced or wounded, if you've got the King James Version. Why does it say that? It wounded in the King James. Well, because it refers to a fatal blow. You may not be dead instantly, but you have been so wounded to a point that death indeed is going to be the consequence. It's a fatal wound. Pierced, wounded. A fatal wound in the Hebrew. Through for our what? Transgressions. He was crushed or bruised. We sang the song, like a rose, what? Trampled on the ground. The crushing of sin, the bearing of that weight of sin, crushed. What happens when you get a bruise? For instance, I have a little tiny bruise right above my right kneecap today. Aren't you glad I shared that with you? I went to give some wormer to the horse on last Monday, and he was last because everybody else is easy. Now, I did the hardest one last. I don't know. I may have should have done the hardest one first. But he's a youngster. And it's like, you're trying to put something in my mouth. No! No! Not going to do it. Don't like it. So you have to get him into a stall first. So you're in this 12 by 12 stall with this horse, you know, running all over the place, trying to get her told to give me your mouth, you stupid horse. And bump, something happened and I got a little bruise. And then I finally got it in, just the end of the, I got a bruise from it. That's the point of the story. But to give you the end of what happened, finally got the wormer in his mouth and he's, oh, that's all? Really? That's not too bad. He'd come and then he's like, I'll talk to you now. He could come on. Stupid horse. But what happens when you get a bruise? What happens? It's the crushing of the what? Blood vessels. Crushed. Bruised. He was crushed and bruised for our what? Our iniquities. Okay? When you link up these verbs, pierced to be fatally wounded, crushed. Jesus Christ suffered for you and for me. Clearly in this verse it's talking about sin. Transgressions, a rebellion, a revolt, a breach in relationship. We are indeed separated from God by our sin. There is a breach in that relationship. It is because of that breach in that relationship that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. For our iniquities, literally, it means to bend or twist, meaning crooked behavior as it refers to sin. And when God in His holiness says you must walk the straight and narrow, so many times, like a child, we say, well, I'm going to go my own way. And we get bent off that which is straight. And so understand this morning.